Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, October 24th. I'm Abby Larico. In addition to federal and statewide races, voters in St. Louis will cast their ballots on three changes to the city charter. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman will break them down. Plus, Chuck Berry did much to define what rock and roll sounds like, but a new tribute project shows that his songs can translate to any genre.
That is what this is all about, to help people understand that this isn't old music, this is music, foundational American music, and it can be taken anywhere.
You never can tell how far a good song can go. That's in a report from St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Today, St. Louis Public Schools will remember those killed and injured during a shooting 2 years ago at Central Visual and Performing Arts High School, which shares a campus with Collegiate School of Medicine and Bioscience. A 19-year-old gunman and former student shot and killed Alexandria Bell and teacher Jean Kuchka. Seven others were injured. Toni Cousins is president of the school board. She says she's proud of the two schools for how they've moved forward.
I have so much respect for the students and staff because of the resilience that they have. And it's amazing to me how they're all still there, even with the trials and tribulations that this district has faced.
Families and school community members can spend the day at the Missouri Botanical Garden. There's also a vigil tonight at St. Margaret of Scotland Parish near the school. Boeing workers will continue their strike. The Seattle-based union at the aerospace giant rejected a tentative contract late last night. The six-week strike by union workers on the commercial side of the company has cost Boeing an estimated $100 million per week. That prompted the business to make company-wide furloughs and layoffs for 10% of its workforce. Those cuts have been felt locally in the St. Louis area. Boeing employs roughly 17,000 in the region at facilities in St. Louis County, St. Charles, and Muskoka, Illinois. Those local employees support the Defense Division of the aerospace company. Former St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner has admitted that she misused funds from her office to cover the costs of her 2022 ethics case. Federal prosecutors announced Wednesday that they had reached a deal with Gardner to avoid criminal prosecution. The amount stolen was just enough to make it a federal crime. Pretrial diversion may seem like a light punishment for corruption, says Rich Finneran, a former federal prosecutor and partner at the law firm BCLP.
But once you understand the circumstances, the amount of money involved, Ms. Gardner's repayment of that money, and her acceptance of responsibility, I think it really justifies and shows that the U.S. Attorney's Office here was not merely trying to throw the book at Ms. Gardner for no reason.
An attorney for Gardner says she was prepared to vigorously defend the accusations, but reached the deal to spare the cost of a trial. A county court in Granite City will soon reopen after a five-year hiatus. The Madison County Court announced a small courtroom in the Metro East City will be operational again in early 2025. The Granite City docket closed during the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic and moved to the main courthouse in Edwardsville. Chief Judge Steve Staub says the courtroom will handle traffic, misdemeanor, and local ordinance violation cases. Located in City Hall, the courtroom historically also took cases from neighboring communities like Pontoon Beach, Venice, and Madison. Madison County judges are hoping the courtroom's return will allow residents to get to court more easily. The Dome at America Center now has new turf and better lights. The St. Louis Battlehawks got to check out the upgrades ahead of the 2025 UFL season, as did St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan All.
The $1 million worth of improvements include new AstroTurf, LED lights, and a sound system. Battlehawks head coach Anthony Becht says the turf is more consistent and will make for an improved playing surface. He also says the new lights will make the Dome better for players and fans.
To be in the forefront of that as well, it's going to be great for our fans. Visually, it looks like it's a lot brighter. You know, it was always a little bit of a dimmer feel, and now they can turn them on, turn them off, make them higher or lower. So all that stuff's really cool.
The Battlehawks will start their next season on the new turf in the spring. The first contests under the improved lights will be this weekend, when more than 70 marching bands from around the Midwest will compete at the Dome. I'm Jonathan Aull, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri State Board of Education has approved the application for Friendly Academy, a new charter school in North St. Louis. The decision comes as the city's public school district is closing schools due to low student enrollment and after the St. Louis Public School Board asked state officials not to approve the school. Tisha Robinson is founder and CEO of Friendly Academy. She says the school plans to enroll 100 students in the fall.
The work continues as we are gearing up for a strong start to deliver on a promise that we are making to families, and that promise is to equip students with a quality and holistic education rooted in love.
Academy officials are looking for a building in North St. Louis. The school will offer kindergarten and first grade in its first year and plans to add grade levels in the future. The Democratic nominee in Missouri's 2nd Congressional District says backlash over abortion restrictions could make his race against incumbent Ann Wagner closer than people realize. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more from Ray Hartman's episode of Politically Speaking.
Hartman is supportive of abortion rights, while Wagner is opposed to them except in the case of rape, incest, and life of the mother. He says 2nd District voters could come out in force to support Amendment 3, which would allow abortion in Missouri up to fetal viability. And while some polls show Amendment 3 not helping Democrats that much, Hartman says the 2nd District race could be an exception.
In a red state, going to the ballot box is the only way that women and men can protect reproductive freedom. You know what the legislature's about.
The 2nd District became more Republican-leaning after redistricting in 2022. Wagner won re-election that year by about 12 percentage points. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis County Council is asking voters for permission to hire its own attorneys. Lawyers hired under Proposition C would help the council draft legislation or file and defend them against lawsuits. They would not report to the county councilor, who is appointed by County Executive Sam Page. Backers of the plan say it has nothing to do with the fractious relationship between the council and Page. They just want independent legal advice. Missouri's legal code of ethics says lawyers should not file frivolous suits, says Sheldon Evans, a professor of legal ethics at Washington University.
Or if there's a political matter that comes up, that attorneys aren't using the law to engage in political battles.
The St. Louis Board of Aldermen has its own attorney. The position has similar powers to those outlined in Proposition C. At the end of a very long ballot in the city of St. Louis, voters will find three proposals to change the city's charter. Most were the product of the work of the Charter Commission, which meets every 10 years to review the document. I sat down with St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman, who explained the propositions. All right, Rachel, first up, Proposition B. What would this one do?
This was a recommendation of the Charter Commission, although 14th Ward Alderman Rasheen Aldridge had introduced a bill with similar language before the commission even finished its work. And what it would do would give the Board of Aldermen more power over the city's budget. Right now, alders can make cuts to city departments without any additional input or oversight. But if they want to increase spending, they can only make a recommendation, which then has to be approved by the Board of Estimate and Apportionment. That's a fiscal oversight board made up of the mayor, the comptroller, and the board president. Proposition B takes the Board of E&A out of that increase process. Basically, if alders wanted to give $1 million more to the streets department or to parks and recreation, they would be able to as long as the budget remains balanced. Here is Aldridge at a town hall on the ballot measures earlier this month explaining why he and his colleagues want this additional power.
We only get the budget one time a year, and that's what we're asking during that one time, to be able to advocate on behalf of you to make sure that dollars are going into the right department.
Most other legislative bodies like St. Louis County Council or the Missouri General Assembly already have this authority.
Well, since that's the case, what's the opposition to it in St. Louis?
There is some concern that alders might miss some of the details of making increases and might not allocate enough money. For example, if you're adding people to a department, you need to make sure that you include enough funds for things like pension and health insurance benefits and not just for salaries.
So that's Prop B. B is in budget, maybe. Next.
That's actually correct.
Yes. Next, Proposition T. Talk us through that one.
This is also a recommendation from the Charter Commission. And by 2029, the city's Department of Streets would become the Department of Transportation. The plan is for that new department to have authority over all modes of transportation, basically a one-stop shop for everything from street paving to traffic calming to bike lanes. Ninth Ward Alderman Michael Browning was the measure's champion at the Board of Aldermen, and he told attendees at that town hall that the city's streets are, quote, dangerous and poorly maintained.
There is no single department in the city of St. Louis whose responsibility is your safety out on our streets.
Now, simply passing this charter change would not give this new department any more staff or funding to do this expanded job. All of that would have to come from bills passed by the current or future boards.
Got it. Okay, we can remember Prop T, transportation.
Exactly.
That one's easy. Last up is Proposition V.
So this is not one that came directly from Charter Commission members. It was first raised in public testimony to the commission and then was taken up at the board by 6th Ward Alderwoman Daniela Velazquez. It eliminates the cap on fines and fees for certain ordinances like illegal dumping, unpermitted demolitions, or non-owner-occupied deteriorating buildings. That last part is key, says Velazquez. The target isn't a homeowner who just cannot keep up with the maintenance on an old building. Here she is at that town hall.
We really want to go after companies, out of state, out of city owners who aren't seeing what the disinvestment does on that block.
How much would these fines be?
That's going to be up to this board or future boards.
Thinking mnemonic devices here, is it V for violation?
V for vacancy, but close.
Vacancy. Okay, there we go. Rachel, anything else voters need to know about before heading to the polls?
Propositions B, T, and V will all require 60% to pass. Voters will also see on their ballot Proposition S. That is a measure that would put an additional fee on the stays of short-term rentals, and that funding would go towards affordable housing initiatives. That only requires 50% plus one to pass. And you can read more about Proposition S and all of the other measures on the ballots at our website, stlpr.org.
St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman on the propositions on the ballot in the city of St. Louis. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Abby.
Chuck Berry mixed the blues, R&B, and country into a series of mid-1950s hits that helped define rock and roll. Berry died in 2017. Now his family is launching a two-year celebration of his music leading up to the 100th anniversary of his birth in 2026. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports, the Chuck 100 project includes a series of releases with wide-ranging covers of Berry's songs recorded by his family and other St. Louis musicians.
You Never Can Tell was a top 20 hit for Chuck Berry in 1964. Now a five-track EP includes fresh takes on the song by St. Louis musicians. C'est la vie, said the old folks. It goes to show you never can tell. The musical anchor of the project is a group including Chuck's son and longtime bandmate, Charles Berry II, and grandsons Charlie Berry and Jahi Eskridge. They call themselves What the Chuck, and they play an updated take on the classic Berry sound. But when Pierre found work, the little money coming worked. That's Eskridge on vocals. He also sings with the group Fat Pocket, which, like the other groups also joining the project, contributed its own very different version of the song.
That is what this is all about, to help people understand that this isn't old music, this is music, foundational American music, and it can be taken anywhere. It was a teenage wedding and the old folks
wished them well. Music industry veteran Carl Napa is producing the sessions.
These songs aren't just what was Chuck's original vision for them, but they can turn and morph into something just as beautiful with a little twist.
When the guys in What the Chuck gather on a recent weeknight to cut another track at Napa's studio on the hill, the mood is loose. But the weight of rock and roll history is present too. Chuck's son, Charles Berry Jr., is warming up with one of his father's classic guitars. His son, Charlie Berry, wants him to be more careful.
Don't use that.
What?
That's a family memento, family heirloom.
You got the other one. You don't use it.
They're all here to record Run, Rudolph, Run for the next EP.
All right, you ready?
I'm rolling.
After several takes, they're closing in on getting the bass and drums finished. They'll come back later in the week to overdub guitar, piano, vocals, and work out any outstanding issues.
I'm not supposed to be playing the guitar, man!
Other contributors to the You Never Can Tell EP include singer-songwriter Maddie Shell. That's her, right there.
C'est la vie, c'est the old folks. Goes to show you never can tell.
The band Playadors recorded a version, and Mark Hochberg arranged the song for strings. Drummer Keith Robinson played with Barry for years, and he's part of What the Chuck. He hopes these recordings will help younger listeners hear what is still relevant about the music.
Be aware of that old, good old rock and roll that you can learn from. And hopefully that the younger generation learn about Chuck, especially our young black youth, learning the history of rock and roll and where it come from.
The Berries and Friends have more musical crossovers in mind. Next year, they'll work with the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Beautiful.
That's money.
Yeah, that's it.
Our David Cazares edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.